Hallelujah. So it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It's good to be here together with the Lord. Amen. We get more out of being here together with the Lord than we know. We really do. Because we can miss things. We can leave the building and go to other things without ever leaving our chair, you know. Our minds can miss things, but our spirit somehow manages to gather them. Have you ever read your Bible and got done reading your Bible and then tried to remember what you read and you think, I don't remember what I read, but the spirit remembers what you read. And then maybe something comes up and you think, oh, I just read that. I couldn't remember what I read, but I just read that. Because it's a living word. It's a powerful word. It's a sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to do everything. And so the goal in this, and the Lord put that on my heart, really was, is that we would simply bring up those things that we already know to be true in our hearts. And that's why we gather. That's my heart's desire, is that it would just stir up what's already in your hearts. And yes, and some things that maybe you didn't know were there, but the word, thy word have I hid in my heart, David said, that I might not sin against you. And so those things are there. And so then what we do is we try to bring them to the surface. Because it's when they're on the surface then that they breathe. Only fish can breathe underwater. We can't breathe underwater. But we can live well in living water. And so the hope of this message is simply to bring to the surface what we already know. To stir our hearts to realize. You know, we've all had things that the enemy convinced us we couldn't get through. But we made it through. It wasn't an accident. The Lord sees us through. And sometimes, you know, people can even deny that God cares, and they can be mad at God, and they can declare all kinds of untruths about God. And God still does what only God can do. And when we come around, we don't find God going, boy, were you stupid. We say, boy, was I stupid. But God doesn't say that. He says, like, man, blessed are you because it's been given you to understand. Now you got it. Now you get it. I tell kids at school sometimes about my experience, and I loved math until a little section of math that came in Algebra 2, and it just blew me out of the water. I'd never had trouble with math before. And it just made no sense whatsoever. And then I got to a naval aviation officer training class, and that was some 4 years later. And that was the simplest thing in the world for me when I got to that class. And I thought, why was it so hard so long ago? Well, I read somewhere that sometimes our brains develop at different times. And so girls will tell you that boys are a little slow, but not all boys are slow. But math is one of those things that can click at one time and didn't click at another time. And it just clicked then. And I thought, how come this was so difficult then? How could it have been so difficult? I have no idea. Because probably up until that time, I probably would have thought maybe I'd want to be a math major, but that ended my desire to be a math major. That just made me glad I can balance my checkbook. I can multiply in my head, add and subtract in my head. I can do all of that, but I'm not going to mess with anything else. And so there's things that come to light. And when it comes to the things of God, we know that things will come to light whether we see them coming to light or not. Because my hope is in you, Lord. And so I may not have understanding right now, but it's out there. And so I put my trust in the Lord. That has to be where we settle everything. I put my trust in the Lord. And then we fight against those things like God doesn't care, or we fight against those things like, well, I guess God is causing me this problem. And people say things like, God is tempting me, and you say, but I've read the Bible. It says don't let any man say that he's tempted by God, because God neither can be tempted nor would he tempt anyone. If you're tempted, you're tempted because there's some stuff in you. And that just makes you aware of something that you need to get through. Throughout. Just throw it out. It's no big deal. You know? I mean, there's, like, I always talk about Vicky, that she breathes too deep. She just smells stuff, you know? So she'll open the refrigerator and all of a sudden she'll say, oh, there's something rotten in here. And she'll be there with her head in the refrigerator, you know? And she'll sniff it out. She'll find that rotten thing. Now, when she finds it, she doesn't go, okay, now just so I know where it is. No, that baby's gone. And sometimes, much to my chagrin, she throws out the container that it's in, too. I'm a container guy. I like containers, you know? The only thing, you know, I mean, it's like water. I don't buy expensive water, but I salvage things. And much to my wife's chagrin, I have been known to dumpster dive for the lid for a water bottle or even for the bottle. You know, don't cringe. It's okay. I'm still alive, you know. I mean, I have to be honest with you. There have been times when I look forward to days that I was substitute, because those kids throw away the coolest bottles. Yes, Blake, I am your pastor. I don't do it when anybody can see me, and you know. But here's the deal. But you'll be walking around school sometime, and you'll see a bottle in the trash, and you'll say, "Oh, Roger would like that one." Hey, I wash them. I really do. I don't fill them right away. I rinse them out. I wash them good, and I use them, you know. And so you know, containers, there's certain containers, and, you know, store-bought ones that she throws. I don't care if she throws out an old cottage cheese container that's keeping something. But, I mean, you know, one of those store-bought ones with a snap-on lid that cost upwards of 20 cents, and she just throws it out with no thought whatsoever, but that's okay. But... that's too much information. But that's what we need to do with those things. That if we find something that stinks, if we have a stinking thought, if we have those things, we just need to throw them out. Just get rid of them. Just throw them out. Don't keep them so we know where they're at. Throw them out. And then when they come up again, you remember, I threw that out. That's gone. That's not part of my life anymore. You see, we end its reign in our life. There's a lot of things that have a reign of terror in our lives, and then all of a sudden, they don't have any rule anymore. Because God's done a wonderful thing with them, and we don't let them go. We throw them out. You know? We don't welcome them to leave when they feel like it. We throw them out. Because they've been discovered. And so the thing is, okay, with Christ, in his presence, always it is well. Things cannot be not well when we're in his presence. And when we have that settled in our hearts, when we have that, when we're so sure of that it's better than our next breath, then we know all we've got to do is go to him, and it is well. There, it's all better. It's well. And while we're getting to that place, we know when we get there, it's well. It's like driving in a snowstorm. Nobody likes to drive in a snowstorm. And we just want to get someplace. or in a thunderstorm. We just want to get someplace. When we were in the thunderstorm in the hills, I wanted to get Vicky someplace because she was just a little concerned. And we really did want it to let up enough to get someplace. And we really wanted it to just stop so that when we would get someplace, it'd be more enjoyable getting there. And I'm the kind of guy, when I drive, I look at my odometer because I know how far I've gone, and I usually remember how far it was from someplace to someplace. And I can remember that when it let up enough and we decided that we could continue on driving to get to Hermosa or wherever it was, that wasn't there. But anyway, I knew I could remember how far the sign said it was to get to the park. So I had an idea of how far it was. And I kept thinking, Lord, it would be really nice if this would just stop. Because I know this is really hard on Vicky, and I'm really sorry that we are in this thing. And Lord, it'd be really good if it did, but you know, it didn't stop. It did let up enough so that if it would have just been that way all the time, it would have been a great trip. But it wasn't good. We were really glad to get to that gas station. And then when we got to the gas station, I told Vicky, I said, you know, we could call Rachel and she could come and get you. And she said, no, I can ride the rest of the way. And 2 minutes later, she said, Rachel's coming to get me. Because she decided she didn't want to ride the rest of the way. And so while Rachel was coming to get her, I got on and I got headed back toward the campground. And I was sort of glad she wasn't on because there were some electrical things that weren't functioning quite the way that I liked them to function. And I had time by myself to pray that my motorcycle would be fixed, that my headlights would work, that my cruise control would work, that my brakes would work, that everything would just kind of square itself away because. And so we got there, but it was good to get where we were going, and where we were going, we knew it would be fine. The trip wasn't perfect, but you know, having Jesus on the trip helped us get to where it was perfect. Those kind of things turned Vicky into a serious prayer warrior. I can hear her through my helmet, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I don't know if she said anything but Jesus was keeping us going. You know? And that's all we really need to know is that he's the answer. And so since he's the answer, what better thing to do than call on him? Now see, these are things that we know in our hearts are true. And so we know that before it feels well, it is well. Then getting our brains to agree with our heart is sometimes quite the battle. And the truth of the matter is that sometimes we will fight the same battle over and over. Sometimes we will. Sometimes we're like a video game. I'm not the gamer, but you know, I mean, people die in a video game, they get back up and they have to go to the same battle again. And they die and they get back up and they have to go to the same battle again. And for me, that would be no problem to just quit. But to somebody that's good at it, they're going to get it. Well, I want to be good at getting to God. I'm going to keep up and keep going and keep getting at it. And as God began to talk to me about that, I don't remember. I think I was on my way to Pier. It was a couple of weeks ago. And when I started just thinking about how it's always well. And as I thought that, and it wasn't I who thought that, but the Holy Spirit that thought that, and then as I took his reminder, I began to go back to different things that have happened over the last 34 years. I began to go back through them, and I began to see how that in the midst of whatever it was, it was okay. Now, I've always said that you know, I like to work. I like physical work. I do. I just do. But I don't like hard stuff in faith. And so it's easy for me to just say, okay, God's got it handled. I call it laziness. I'm just too lazy to struggle because the Bible says I shouldn't struggle. But I was too lazy to struggle before I found the scripture that said don't struggle. But by his goodness and by his, you know, the Bible says that God makes wise the simple. I guess I'm living proof. Because some things about faith have just been simple. They just happened, and then later I realized that they've happened. Now that's not because I'm anything different. It's there for everybody. See, we can choose what we will think on. We can choose what we will dwell on. So we can dwell on, you're never going to let me down because you are good. Or we can dwell on, well, where is God now? Why has God forgotten me? Why hast thou forsaken me, O Lord? You know. Now some people think that that's a real biblical thing to declare because Jesus said it on the cross. Well, maybe so. But we have to remember that Jesus said, into your hands I commit my spirit. Yeah. This doesn't feel good, Father. This is a lot worse than I thought it was going to be, Father. Yeah. I mean, they're saying, where is God now? Why doesn't God come and rescue him? And I'm sort of in agreement, Father. But ultimately, it was worth it to Jesus for you and me. His word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. And so it is well. And if you stir yourself up and you take your mind to things, you will discover that those things that were seemingly unbearable and you got through them, you really were well. In fact, faith helps us understand that we were weller than we thought we were. And we were doing better than we realized. And then the key then to working it through in faith is realizing, if I was weller than I realized this time, then I think I'll just start with well. I think I'll just start with assurance. I think I'll just start with confidence. I think I'll just start. You know, sometimes we need to be willing to just start over. We start over when we let old things pass away. And we can accelerate that when we cease to let them pass away and we pass them away. We throw them to the sea of forgetfulness. We do the big loft to God is ready to do the slam dunk. So we loft it to God. Boom. And here comes God flying across the court. Whoosh. And he never misses. Ah, he just waits for us to do that flip for him to grab it and slam it away. And then for him to say, now. Enjoy this. Enjoy it. You know, I like to pick on Blake sometimes. Imagine how you're going to feel the first time you stuff that basketball. Ooh. When I was a little kid, where the grade school sits, there was a gym, and down in that hole there was the mat up against the wall, and we would run and we'd put our foot on the mat and we'd loft ourselves up into the air. That was to touch the net. There was no getting near that. But then they got those little mini tramps. And so the people would be down in the gym jumping off the mini tramp to try to dunk the basketball. That's not a safe thing to do when you're in the fifth grade, you know. But oh, we wanted to do it. The problem was is that you'd sometimes run out of incentive about the time you hit the thing, and you're thinking, if I go clear up there, I'm going to come clear back down here. But it was imaginations. It was imaginations. You know, and we imagine things that happen. You know, I was in the fifth grade one time. I remember running down that gym, dribbling down the side of the court, and I threw up a hook shot from the corner, and it went in. It was like, yeah, that was so exciting. Well, we need to, you know, when we throw them to God, they're always going to go in. We're always going to have a victory. We're always going to have that. And man, it's well when those things happen, you know. It's well when a trial is completely over. It's well. But sometimes we got to be honest and say that we sort of extend the process. Because the thing, the situation, the circumstance can take as long as it wants, but we can be well when it starts. Because we're just confident. And when we're confident, then we can accelerate the process of the freedom. We can accelerate the process because we can hope and we can imagine the completeness of it. When Pastor Rogers called this morning, you know, oh, hello, praise the Lord, brother. And I said, oh, brother, I'm just on my way out to church. I wanted to catch you before you went to church because I want you to pray for us, brother. And he was a little bit down when we started, and he was shouting when we finished. Because that's all he wanted. He just wanted to be reminded. He just wanted to be stirred up. And once you stir him up, he runs way out ahead of you. Yeah. Of course, when a guy's been raised from the dead, he's got quite a pool to draw from to stir that back up. But no matter what, there can be things. There can be things that get on us. There can be things that get us down. But it is well. It's all well. You've never been in any situation where you know in your heart God got you through. Because you wouldn't have made it yourself. And we think about those in the world who don't know God. This week, reading in Ezekiel, and in Ezekiel, there's a lot of stuff where God is saying some pretty awful things. He says, then they'll know I'm Lord. And I thought, how many people in this world are denying God? Are not only denying him, but going against him. And they seem to be gaining momentum, and they seem to be encouraging one another. And I'm thinking, oh, someday they're going to know he's Lord. Oh, that they might know he's Lord before that dreadful day when they know he's Lord. Well, see, we've got this hope in us. We've got this confidence in us. We've got these things that we can go on. You know, oh, how joyful are those who fear the Lord, who follow his ways. Oh, how joyful are they? How joyful are we? Well, we're really joyful when we think about those things, the right things. But sometimes we have to be reminded. Thank God, Holy Spirit reminds us. I can't remember what it was that I was working on the other day, but whatever it was, and Vicky, in her loving, wifely way, she asks questions sometimes when I really don't have an answer and I have no desire to give an answer. And she was asking, I said, Vicky, and she kept on. I said, Vicky. She kept on. I said, Vicky. and it got silent. And it sort of stayed silent for a little bit. But all I was, I didn't say, Vicky, shut up. I didn't say, leave me alone. Didn't say anything like that. It's just that once is enough. Well, how joyful was that, Roger? Well, it was pretty joyful the first time, but by the third time, it wasn't so joyful. We have things, you know, I mean, that's not a big deal. But, you know, the thing is that sometimes there's things that are way bigger deals. Way bigger deals. And we string them out way longer than they need to be strung out. Because we forget it's well. We need to not dwell on what wasn't right, but what is right. When Vicki and I nearly had the accident south of town on the motorcycle, we learned a lot of things on the motorcycle. It was quite a while before I actually got her on the motorcycle again. The first time that she didn't really care to ride, I didn't think too much about it. Second time, I started thinking about it. Third time, or fourth time, or fifth time, I finally said, are you scared to get back on the motorcycle again? Well, yeah, that really bothered me. So you see, I was dwelling on the thrill of the next ride, and she was still dwelling on the thought of almost the last ride. Well, I thought it was pretty great that we got through that. You know, it was a pretty amazing thing. It was just the goodness of God. How many things in your life do you have where you can honestly, you know, you think about it and you got to admit that was just the goodness of God? We already knew that John and Vicky got delayed, but I got a text this morning from Vicky saying that their plane had been delayed and they were waiting for another plane, but it was delayed for mechanical problems. Favor of God. We all were praying for their safety. And all of those other people on that plane benefited too. Because they found a mechanical problem. And they're waiting for a different plane. I'd be really wanting to wait for a different plane, too. I don't really want to get on the one that they fixed the mechanical problems that I know that they had a mechanical problem on. I want one that they had no problem with. In this world, Jesus made it really clear, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have things that are going to try to steal from us what we know to be true. But what we need to do is hold on to those things that in our hearts we know are true. It's well. I'm well. I'll be even weller, but I'm well. Things will be okay. You know, you have something. Wayne, when you had the news that Cheryl had cancer, you know, that's not like hopping and skipping news, unless we're sure that we're well, and then we just praise the Lord and pray. And when we feel like we're stumbling, we stop and we pray. And we continue to pray, and we continue to thank God, and because we have this confidence in Him. We don't pray out of no confidence. We don't pray out of, well, I suppose I better pray now because we've got trouble. No, we pray out of a history of knowing. And as we begin to get the understanding, now then we look at any and every circumstance, we look at it as if something comes up, it's all well. Because God is for me. God is with me. I'm with God. These are the things that we know in our hearts to be true. And so that's what we stand with. We don't focus on those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We don't focus on giving up. We focus on digging in. We don't listen to the enemy who says, why don't you just give up? We say, wait a minute. It's going to be better than it's ever been before. I'm choosing the promise of God. I'm choosing His promises. I'm tired of giving in to my doubts. I'm tired of giving in to my fears. I'm tired of laying down to sickness. I'm tired of that. I'm going with God. I'm tired of giving up my joy. I'm going to get more joy. I'm going to go for the joy. I deserve the joy because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's mine. It's guaranteed by God. These are the things that in our hearts we know to be true. We know them. It's in there. It's these things that when we're reading the Word and the Word is giving us a liberating word and our minds are saying, if only that were true, our hearts are saying, it is. It is. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. What in your life is the Spirit saying? Go for it too. Telling you to get beyond the wall. Go through the wall. Knock down the wall. What is that thing that holds us back? Because sometimes one thing can hold us back and spoil a whole lot of other things. Because that one thing is the one thing that we think is the only thing. And when that one thing is done, then everything else will be well. Listen, the one thing has already been done that makes everything well. Jesus died on the cross. And when he said, it's finished, it was finished. And it's well. It is well. It is well. Who am I to not believe just because I don't see? This mountain that is in front of me will be knocked in the midst of the sea. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and the wind still know his name. It is well. It is well. It is well. The Holy Spirit ministers to us and says, it's well. It's well. It's well. You can do abundantly above and beyond anything you ever hoped or imagined because he's doing abundantly above and beyond anything you ever hoped or imagined. Let go, my soul, and trust in him. Let go and trust in him. Because you see, when we trust in him, then what joy we have. And that joy is a liberator. It's a liberator for us. It's a liberator for those around us. More than we even understand. And these are the things that we know in our hearts to be true. We know it. We know it. I can't tell you how many times people say, I know, but let it go. Let it go. And make a declaration. Make the declaration and make the declaration and make the declaration until it's a revelation. It's well. It's all well. I'm all well. I mean, the last enemy is death. And our confidence in the Lord says, that won't be all bad. Right? Grave, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? I won't know. I won't know when I die. I might be ready to die. I might be thinking it's coming soon. I might know when I take my last breath and all of a sudden I'm breathing better than I ever breathed before. That's kind of what we know to be true, isn't it? It's all well. In Christ, it's all well. It's well, maybe in the natural, it's getting well, but it's well before it ever gets there. Do you understand what I'm saying? The desire in this particular message, and I guess in all things that we hear from God, is that it brings to the surface the things that we already know in our hearts to be true. Go with it. Go with it. Father, in the name of Jesus, it's all well. It is. Because you said in this world you'll have things that look like they're not well. You'll have tribulations, you'll have trials, but hey, rejoice, I've overcome all that. In our hearts, this is what we know to be true. You've overcome it, and you got the rope of faith just pulling us through. And as we go through, then we are an example to others. We are an encouragement to others. We are an encouragement to those who believe, and we are evidence to those who don't. Because ultimately, what you do in us and for us and through us is for the sake of those who don't know you. So may we just yield to your leading and draw many others. For you said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. So we thank you, Father, for these are the things that we know in our hearts. These are the things that sometimes we just wish that they would happen, and we have to have faith and say they have happened. It is finished. Let your blessing pour out on each and every one here, Lord. Just let it flow to and through. Let this be a day of acceleration in all of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.